about acknowledging the presence of God. Now, there's no fact more firmly stated in Scripture than the fact that God is everywhere. There's no place where He is not. In fact, one of the Bible writers put it this way, "In Him we live and move and have our very existence." David, on the other hand, put it this way when he said, "Where can I go from thy spirit?" And look at this. "And how shall I flee from thy presence?" He asked the question, "If I go up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there also." God is everywhere. Nothing is more thoroughly presented to us in Scripture than the omnipresence of God. God is not simply everywhere in an academic sense, but God is active everywhere He is present. In fact, David put it this way. He said, "If I take the wings of the morning, and if I got stuck out there in the uttermost parts of the sea, you would not only be there, but your hand would lead me, and your right hand would hold me." I don't know what your situation is today, but I want to affirm to you that more than just in an academic way, God is right where you are right now. While you're listening and watching, God is there. And He is there to touch you. He is there to function. He is there to be actively involved with your life. The question isn't, is God right there where you are right now? The question is, are you aware that He is there? Do we acknowledge the presence of God? He is there, but He only functions as we acknowledge Him. It is in the acknowledging of His presence that there is participation between us and God. Now, there are certain things that cause people to lose the awareness of His presence. Have you ever been in a room and all of a sudden realized that somebody else was there with you? Well, they were there before you became aware of it. But suddenly, when you became aware of it, now there's a dynamic. Now you can respond to them. Now you can participate with them. God is there. And the most important thing that you can do in your life is acknowledge His presence, because it is in acknowledging His presence that you will come into a relationship with Him that is dynamic, that is not inert or academic, but that is real and vital. But there are certain things that cause us to lose the awareness of the presence of God. Number one, some people are determined to ignore Him. They don't want to know that God is there with them, because then they probably would have to change their conduct. They would have to change their motive. They'd have to change their speech, because if they knew they were in the presence of God, how would we behave? How would we act? Oh, don't you see that people don't find God for the same reason that a thief doesn't find a cop? Because they don't want to change. They are determined to ignore God and go their own way. Now, this happened in the story in the Garden of Eden between Adam and his wife. Look at this. And Adam and Eve, his wife, rather, look at this, hid themselves from the presence of God, the Lord God, amongst the trees of the garden. Some people today are still just like Adam and Eve, hiding themselves from the presence of the Lord. Maybe not among the trees, but perhaps in their jobs, or in their hobbies, or in their sports, or in pleasures. And, well, you know, one man's drunkenness is wine, another man's is materialism. Some of us hide ourselves and busy ourselves. Okay, don't take time to acknowledge God, because we're determined to ignore Him. In fact, another story in the Bible is of Jonah. Remember? In this book of Jonah, he rose up to flee from Tarshish. Look at this. He was trying to flee. This is the active word, flee here, from the presence of the Lord. He was trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. People do strange things to get away from His presence. But you see, escaping His presence isn't just a change in geography. It's a change in acknowledgement. Refusing. Well, In this case, though, Jonah, look at this, he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship that was going to Tarshish, and he paid for his ticket, and then he went into the boat to go with them to Tarshish. Now look at this again, because where was he going? It wasn't that he was going to Tarshish, it was that he was trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. Probably some place and some time in your life you knew the presence of the Lord. But perhaps, maybe accidentally, perhaps with intent or determination, you have been fleeing like Jonah from his presence ever since. And I'm not sure why you are ignoring God's presence, but one of the reasons is people are determined. Another reason why some people no longer acknowledge and know that God is present with them is because of holding on to secret sin. Look at the scripture in Leviticus. Say to them, whoever it is, say to whoever it is, look at this, that goeth unto the holy things, even go to church, even have a cross around their neck, even have religious jewelry, a Bible sitting on the couch, things that, look at this, have been hallowed unto the Lord. But, watch this now, but if they have some uncleanness upon them, that soul shall be cut off from the presence of God. Now, it isn't that God has moved. It's not that God has cut them off. But the soul, look at this active word here. The soul is your mind and your emotions, your will. Your mind and emotions, you can't feel the presence of God anymore. The soul gets cut off because of sin. This is what Jesus was talking about in that Sermon on the Mount when he said, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. But those who are not pure heart don't see God. They can't see that God is right there with them. They cannot acknowledge his presence because sin and iniquity. Look at this verse now with me. In the book of Isaiah. By the way, the book of Isaiah is the book called the Bible within the Bible. I guess it's because there are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, just like there are 66 books in the Bible. And, in fact, they are divided exactly the same way. The first 39 chapters look forward from a place of captivity to a place of freedom. And the last 27 chapters look back from the place of release and freedom into freedom. And even as the Old Testament looks forward to Calvary and the New Testament looks back from Calvary. The Bible within the Bible. And here, look at what Isaiah says. Behold, the hand of the Lord isn't shortened, that he cannot save. And his ear is not heavy, that it cannot hear. But look at this. But iniquities have separated between you and your God. God is still there, but you can't perceive him. You can't acknowledge him. You aren't aware of him because iniquity. And look at this. Your sins have hid his face from you. You can't see. His face is still there, but sin blocks. Sin separates us from God. And the reason why so often people can't find God, can't feel like God is there, can't come into his presence is because of secret sin. Nobody else knows about it, but it's been there and it's hidden. It separates from God, breaks fellowship, and the presence of God is not known unto them, even though the presence of God is very there. Now in the Bible, David sinned. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and you know that story. But when he sinned, he knew that his sin had tremendous consequences. But the worst of the consequences was the fact that his sin would cause a loss of the presence of God. And so, in his repentance psalm, number 51, David is dealing with his sin, dealing properly, dealing thoroughly. And look what he says. Look it with me. Cast me not away away from your presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, the presence will always be there. It's right there with you now. It was going to be right there, but David could not be aware of the presence because of his sin, so he dealt thoroughly with sin. Secret sin will keep away the presence, and the inability to acknowledge God and God's presence will be the result of hiding secret sin. And then sometimes we lose the awareness of God by going our own ways. And Scripture says Cain went out from the, look at this, from the presence of the Lord. He wasn't going to go do some sin, but he was going to do his own thing. He dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east side of Eden. And on the other hand, Moses had a promise from God. And the promise was this. God said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. My presence, you'll know that I'm there. You'll sense my presence will always be there, Moses. And, you know, look what Moses said to God. He said to God, if thy presence doesn't go with me, then I don't want to go anywhere. Because you can do your own thing, go your own way, which is what iniquity is. And it causes the loss of the presence of God. And then sometimes we lose the awareness of God because we look for signs instead of looking for God. People want God. Well, God, if you're here, make something happen so I'll know you're here. And so we become sign seekers. And Jesus had to deal with this. Look at what he says. A wicked and adulterous generation shall seek after a sign. Seeking after signs, but there shall, look at this, no sign shall be given to them. People who seek signs will not find God. But people who seek God will find him. Listen to what Jeremiah said. If you seek me, you will find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. He said, God says, I will be found of you. I will be found of you. If you seek me with all your heart, you see, you can know the presence of God. But don't go seeking after signs. Seek after God, and God says that he will reveal himself to you. You will know his presence if you seek God and not seek after signs. Well, why should we acknowledge the presence of God? What benefit is there where you're sitting in your room right now to you acknowledging the presence of God? And there are seven vital issues, and I want you to catch them down in your notebook right now if you haven't already started taking notes, because his acknowledged presence is our dwelling place. Look at the scripture. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto the name. The upright shall, look at this, dwell in thy presence. The awareness, the continual awareness that you're in the presence of God is the way to live life. Knowing that God is with you everywhere you go. It's not a geographical issue. It's an acknowledgement issue. So, we dwell in the presence of God. And then, the acknowledged presence of God will be the source of your joy. Look at the scripture. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Look at this. In thy presence is fullness. In thy presence is fullness of joy. The happiest thing that can ever happen to you in life is not to reach out, grab, and clutch for some possession and then let it slip through your fingers. There is no joy, no human experience that compares with knowing the presence of God. Because there, he says that's where fullness of joy is. And look at the next part of that verse. And at thy right hand, pleasures. Pleasures that this world and all its wealth can never know. One hymn writer said it that way. In fact, the scripture says, glory and honor are in, look at this, are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. The place of knowing, acknowledging the presence. And then his acknowledged presence is a secret hiding place. Look at this text with me. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Look at the diagram. I put this little circle here because, you see, outside here are all kinds of lying and cheating and evil speaking and gossip, and people are debating and strife of tongues. But God says that if you acknowledge His presence, that you will be kept in this sort of like a safe zone. The presence of God, a pavilion, a safe zone. And the strife of tongues can't reach you there because you're dwelling in His presence. And then the acknowledged presence of God becomes a source of direction. If you don't know which way to go with your life, get into the, just acknowledge. I was going to say, get into the presence of God. The fact is that you're in it. But if you will acknowledge Him, don't get rid of all your preoccupations. Acknowledge His presence. He'll speak to you there. David said, let my sentence come forth from, look at this, forth from thy presence. Let the verdict, let my direction come from thy presence, because it's there in the acknowledged presence of God that you find direction. Here's a scripture, you know it probably better than many. It said, book of Proverbs verse, and it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Acknowledge His presence. And what's the result? He shall direct your path. So His acknowledged presence is the source of our direction. And then His acknowledged presence is our audience. This one is so exciting. You are never alone. You are never, never really alone. God is always there. And He's listening. He's in the audience. In some churches, the choir and the singers are the performers, and the congregation is the audience. But in real worship, the choir and the congregation are the performers, and God is the audience. I don't know about you, but I like singing in the shower. And I sing choruses, and I say hymns, and I sing a lot of places where nobody else is listening, and it's just as real for me because, you know, I am singing to God who is very there. Look at this. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. He is the audience. In fact, you know that when you pray, if you're alone in a room and you pray out loud, are you just praying to yourself? What is happening here? Not at all. When you are speaking, God is listening. He is the audience, especially for worship. Look at this. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise in the rock of our salvation. Look at this. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. You can go to the shower and sing, and God is really there. He's listening. Your words are not in vain. Your prayers are not in vain. And your worship is not in vain. God is the audience. His ears are tuned. He is there with you right now, so that if you pray, He hears. And if you worship, He responds. Because He is the God who is really there. He's your audience. And then His acknowledged presence is our place of change. I don't know, as you're viewing just now, what changes you need in your life. I don't know how great it is. But whatever it is, if you want your life changed, it is simply a matter of acknowledging the presence of God who is right there with you right now. You may have to get rid of some of the distractions, but He's there, and He's listening. And if you will come to Him, He will change. Look at this scripture in Job. God performs the thing that is appointed to me, and many such things are with Him. Look at. And so Job says, well, I'm in trouble. Wow, I better watch out. I am in the presence of God. I better be careful. because there is where God changes us. Watch this now, because Job, in response to the recognition that he was in the presence, this is what he said. God makes my heart soft. He makes my heart soft. And let me tell you, mister, no matter how big, no matter how much you work out, no much iron of steel, iron man you think you may be, the real test of a man is not the measure of his chest or his biceps, it's his heart. And anybody who visits the presence of God becomes tender-hearted, gentle. God makes my heart soft, Job testified. And then, not only does he change us in dealing with our heart, but look at this. Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. That's where change. Are you tired? Are you weary? Jesus says, come unto me, you find rest. Take my yoke, learn of me. My way's easy. If you're heavy laden, come. The presence of the Lord, the acknowledged presence of God brings, come with your stress. Come with your worry. Come with your fear. Come with your anxiety. Acknowledge His presence. And guess what will happen? From the very presence of the Lord, refreshing will come your way. And then, His acknowledged presence is our salvation. Look at this text with me. In all their affliction, He was afflicted. You see, He comes right where you are. He suffers like you suffer. And the angel of His presence saved them. Look at this. In His love and pity, He redeemed them. And He bare them. And He carried them all the days of old. He redeemed them. It's the place of salvation. See, you can be salvaged. You can be saved. But it's not merely psychological. It's not theoretical. It is saved in reality. Because there is the Redeemer who is there with you right now, and by acknowledging Him, the literal presence of God is there to salvage and save you. The acknowledged presence of God is where salvation takes place. You know, I know hell's a bad place. It's the Alcatraz of eternity. It's the insane asylum of the universe. It's a place of restriction and confinement. Jesus said there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what they do in insane asylum. And it's rubber-walled place. There's a lot of terrible things about hell. But the worst thing about hell is that in hell, we are banished from being able to acknowledge the presence of God. Look at the scripture. It talks about those who are punished with everlasting destruction. Look at this. Destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. The worst thing about hell will be not being able to know the presence of the Lord. But you can know His presence right now. And now, if you were in hell, God's still there. His presence is still. Remember David said, if I went to hell, you'd be there. If I went to heaven, you'd be there. Can't get away from you. You're everywhere. God will be in hell. But those that are there will not be able to acknowledge His presence. You know, not all hell is in hell. There are people today, and maybe this is your story. Maybe your life is empty and you're disillusioned and heartbroken and scared and nervous. Maybe you feel like a piece of human wreckage. Maybe you feel soiled and cheated and disturbed and stressed, broken, battered, bashed. And you're crying out, oh, that there was a fix for me. If I could just have, if I could find Him. I want you to know the most important thing that you can have on this planet is the presence of God, our most treasured possession. It's not in gold and silver and the stuff that money can buy. Job just said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." The truth is today is that you can know his presence. If you want to, don't hide from him. Deal with all your secret sins. Get all of your sins to Calvary, all the secret ones. Deal with them thoroughly. Don't go your own way. Don't seek after signs. Seek after God. Because the acknowledged presence of God has so much there for you. The dwelling place, your joy, your hiding place, the source of direction. He's your audience. He's the place of change. He's your salvation. And you can know him. For he said that if you seek me, you shall find me when you shall search with all your heart. He's right there with you are, where you are. Simply acknowledge his presence and you will come into a relationship with him right now.
When you look in the mirror, what do you see? David L. Johnston's book, How You See Yourself, changes lives with a new perspective to live as God intended. Life can seem like looking in a distorted carnival mirror because we do not see ourselves accurately. We are hindered by iniquity. How You See Yourself by David L. Johnston gives you God's perspective for a sound mind and freedom from fear and regrets. Take action. Order today. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/C. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/SEE.